You're listening to The Wicked Horror Show, powered by the Dorkening Podcast Network. For more information, check out thedorkening.com.
Welcome to this episode of Wicked Horror Show. It was not broadcast live to Facebook, but it's a twofer. That helps. These are two shorter episodes. Due to time constraints, we couldn't do these live, but still some really awesome guests. First off, we're joined by actress Renee Swart. She's the lead in the movie The Lullaby, a movie that we highly recommend. Really cool horror movie about postpartum depression. You really don't see that very much. And next, we're joined again by our good friend Max Cherky. Max has a few announcements. Some new projects on the way, as well as a pretty cool thing that he's working on for filmmakers in his area, which would be Los Angeles, California. So maybe make it a little easier and more affordable for independent filmmakers. If you're an independent filmmaker, definitely check this out. And as always, if you like what you hear, head over to facebook.com/thedorkening every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a live show just like this one. Also, head over to thedorkening.com to check out all of the shows on the Dorkening Podcast Network. We would highly appreciate it. And also, go subscribe to all the shows. That would help as well. Another thing that would help, check out deadlygrounds.com for our sponsor, Deadly Grounds. Amazing coffee. Coffee good enough to die for, I would say. Another thing I'd like you to do is enjoy the show.
With us today, we have Kevin.
What's up, everybody?
Wolfman.
How's it going, everyone?
Tony.
Oh.
What is going on, people? That's my time.
Yeah. Yeah. He broke into his time.
And our very, very special guest, Miss Rainsworth. Thank you so much for joining us today.
No, thank you. It's really lovely to be on it. And thank you for the great review. I listened and I watched the whole review. Thank you.
Nice.
It was really great.
Yeah. Very interesting. We dug it. Like I said, you know, I mean, I said it in the interview, I didn't really know what I was going into. You know, you see movies with like a possessed kid and you're like, oh geez, what is this going to be or whatever. So I didn't watch any trailers or anything. And I think I said it on the review as well, that when I, the image of the baby carrier, I thought right away was Rosemary's Baby, but it didn't have that vibe at all. I mean, it was a different vibe altogether,
right.
But I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought it was really good.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I guess it's a complex story. You know, it's not everyone's cup of tea, but yeah, it's nice that you resonated with it or you understood or yeah.
It's cool. And we all kind of took something a little different away at the end as well, where we all thought something else had happened. So,
yeah,
I mean, I'm sure you could probably answer that question for us, but at the same time too, I don't know if I want that question answered, especially
the
show. Yeah, because you like to maybe watch it again and be like, oh, okay, now I see what's going on.
Well, we also don't want to ruin it for anybody that has not seen the movie. Which
exactly. Yeah.
It's out on VOD right now. Actually, I believe physical media as well. So it's called The Lullaby. We highly recommend you check it out. And
what are the things you were saying? Because you're originally from South Africa. This is a different style of movie than is usually made in South Africa. So you want to talk about that a bit? So maybe your career starting in South Africa and like how this came to be?
Yeah, no, in South Africa, so we have a lot of TV soaps. That's a big thing. And a lot of romantic comedies, drama. That would be, you know, the mainstream. And so I started in a TV soap because that was the more popular thing to do and start your career in. So I did that for a year, and then I went into more dramatic stuff, and I did the first surfing film in South Africa. So it's kind of fun to do the first horror film as well. So it's kind of I like horror films a lot. I find it very interesting and very different, but South Africa has never really explored that genre. So it's very brave and very brave of the producers and the director to take on something like this. But the director did something, but that was about 20 years ago. So this is really new for South Africa. So going into that and working with Daryl Wood was a big challenge, but I really enjoyed it.
Nice.
Do you think that this might spawn an onset of other horror from South Africa?
I hope so. Yeah, I think so, because it was such a fun and different, you know, genre to work in. I think Daryl will definitely do a few more horrors and you know, grow from there. And I hopefully it expands and other production companies do them as well. I think so.
So did this get like a theatrical release or anything in South Africa, or was like, how was it received in South Africa?
No, not very well.
Really?
in South Africa, like I said, like the mainstream of people, like the romantic comedies, a little bit of, one of the best films I know that the best in box office was Fast and the Furious. So I guess they liked like action and, you know, romance and stuff like that. And, yeah, I remember people said, no, this is from the devil, you know, and stuff like that. I was like, okay, it's postpartum psychosis, women have it, you know, it's a real thing. So unfortunately in some groups, not, but most groups, but some groups really liked it and supported it. And so usually our films are in Afrikaans, so it's a different language. So making it English, you know, had a broader audience and everything. So I think that helped, you know. Yeah.
Mm. Oh, Tony had a question.
Well, I was going to say, now hearing that, I mean, you said it's not really a thing in South Africa. So maybe, I mean, I wasn't around for that, but around this time, you know, in America, when horror first kind of jumped off on the scene, I'm sure a lot of people thought the same way, where, you know, this is, you know, the devil work and this and that and this. So maybe it'll take time to, you know, kind of bring this type of movie into South Africa, and Lullaby could be that, you know, that groundbreaking thing where everybody starts watching horror now. Because I'm sure, like, in America, you have your niche crowd where, you know, horror fans are horror fans. Not everybody likes horror, but I mean, we have dedicated horror fans. I'm sure in South Africa, you had have a lot of people like that. They might not be, you know, the majority, but, you know, I'm sure there's a bunch of people that, you know, want something like this.
If they're getting Fast and the Furious, I'm sure they're getting other, you know, U.S. movies as well.
Yeah. But,
I mean, it may not be like the standard to see that in the theater, or, you know, maybe the people that watch those are maybe just on the hush hush about it. And they don't want people to know that they're watching devil movies, apparently. Yeah.
Well, but you've
done some television in the U.S. as well, too, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, I have. It's really the first thing I did in the U.S. was Z Nation. So that was really fun. It's like this zombie, you know, fun comedy series. And The Empty Man is coming out soon. That was also, everything I do seems like it's had a little bit of a horror feel to it these days. And yeah, makes it fun.
That's the popular thing right now. Like when Walking Dead came out, it's kind of like the, you know, even shows that may not seem like they would be a horror genre, they'll have a little bit in there. Like, even there's a lot of comedies that'll have like just a weird like undertone, you know, like, oh, that's pretty messed up right there. That's kind of horror-ish. But that's, I mean, that's good. And we just lost our video.
And what I'm going to do is...
There you are.
We just moved into our apartment, so if the Wi-Fi is like going on and off.
Understandable.
Yeah.
But sorry, Leah, you were gonna say something?
Oh, actually what I was gonna do is I was gonna cut for the trailer of the Lullaby, and Rain, would you care to introduce the trailer?
Yes. So we're gonna watch the trailer of the Lullaby made in South Africa.
Okay.
Okay.
So we're back, obviously. That was the trailer for Lullaby. Thank you so much for introducing it. So besides the television work and the Lullaby, I know you were saying that you just recently moved to LA, but do you have anything in the works, like maybe something that's being released soon, or you know, maybe some projects that you have that you maybe can discuss?
Okay, cool. Yeah. So a very exciting project for me is it's a feature film from 20th Century Fox. So that was my first big studio movie that I worked on. I got to work with James Badgedale, and he's really a great actor, and it was really great to work with him and the director. And yeah, it's just, it's coming out next year or the end of the year. It's got a very creepy cult feeling to it. I don't know how to say it. It's very cool. I really like the script, and I can't give too much away, but it's something to look out for. I think horror fans are going to like it as well, but it's more of a thriller feel to it as well. And then the other thing is Z Nation is now on Netflix. I think it's just come out on Netflix. I played Carly McFadden in one of the episodes. It's a really cute and quirky character, and it was a lot of fun.
Very cool.
You were in season 3, right?
Oh, season 4, episode 9. It's okay. I've got a great arc and everything. I had a lot of fun, like really, yeah.
Would you want to do more television in the U.S. or do you want to focus more on film?
Yeah, I've done more film recently, but television is really becoming big, I guess. You know, you have your own big screen at home and it's fun. It's in your home. I'd love to do more TV as well. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of good quality, like original programming from places like Netflix and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, you've seen a lot of like really good actors. Yeah, really good actors on television lately. People that like said they would never do TV that are now on TV and they're killing it on TV. So that's good. So yeah, that'd be awesome seeing some stuff. So where can people go to find The Lullaby? Do you know like what platforms it's available on?
Yeah, so at the moment you can rent it on Amazon Prime and iTunes, and it is in selected theaters. I know it's in Atlanta and Phoenix and LA, New York. Unfortunately, not the Pacific Northwest, where you're from.
Yeah.
So not there, but yeah. So the easiest would be iTunes or Amazon Prime.
Now, what gravitated you to acting? Did you, was it in your like family, a family member acting, or you watched the movie and you're like, you know what, I want to do this?
Yeah, I guess. The thing is with acting, no, I don't have anyone in my family doing acting. So that was quite strange for my parents. They were like, no, go study something else, you know. And I'm like, no, I want to do this. And so I went into acting right after school. Or I took like theater in school, and then I went into acting only after school. And what drove me to do it is I find it so interesting that, you know, we can't judge each other. Everyone has their own story, and why they do this is because of this, and why do, you know, so not judging people and listening to their stories and telling their stories. That's kind of my passion, is to tell different people's stories. Yeah. So that drove me to do acting.
Nice. And how long have you been acting?
That's cool.
I have been acting for the past 6 years now.
Nice.
Professional. Like, yeah,
that's awesome. Well, you're killing it. You're in awesome stuff. That's great.
Yeah. Again, I can't say enough about how good The Lullaby is. But were you always growing up watching movies? Were you always a horror fan? I mean, you say that horror is not a big thing in South Africa, but were you a horror fan yourself?
Yeah. No. I love horror. I would go and be, I remember I was very young. I was too young to watch The Ring. So, but my older friend got the ticket and we watched it, and I was like, okay, sorry. Yeah. Don't do that, kids. we were the only ones in the theater. So that was that was scary for me. I was like, oh, we're alone and we're watching this film. And so The Ring was kind of my first one as a kid. And then I went back and watched The Shining. Was really exciting for me. It was such good acting and it was so bizarre. And just, it doesn't make sense sometimes, but I like that, you know, it kind of makes you think.
Yeah.
And, I really like that one. That one was so interesting. Yeah. And I watched Rosemary's Baby for this one as well. I've watched not all of them. Obviously, yeah. You guys have watched a lot more than I. Maybe you have recommendations for me. What should I watch?
It's really weird because it breaks down to a lot of subgenres. So it's a matter of what you're into, because there's going to be some things that, you know, we could recommend that would like probably scar you a bit, but it's not a good thing, you know. But one of the things I know Wolfie, because I just heard his reaction, I think a lot of us, the way that we became fans of horror was by seeing it at a too young age, to be honest with you. It's not that whatever scarred you as a child, you're like, you're chasing that again. You're like, it's like chasing the dragon, you know? You're like, this terrified me, and I liked that feeling, so I want to continue that feeling. But at the same time, too, so we're not against two young kids, you know? There's some movies.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I saw The Exorcist in the theater when I was 6 years old.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So, my mom's a horror
much.
Fan.
That's too
and,
much.
And she's the one that, you know, she's the one that got me to be a horror fan. So when I was six, she wanted to go see The Exorcist. She took me to see The Exorcist. And so I was like, you know, it just came out that year. And I was like, that's the coolest thing ever. So I have a lot of really great memories of seeing like Friday the 13th and at the drive-in and Pieces and all that stuff like in the theaters, just because I had this awesome mom.
And you're also way older than all of us. Yeah. But and that's the reason why you saw them all in the theater. But anyways, so maybe that's a younger true. Person will see The Lullaby and it'll scar them for life. And then they'll be like, you know, she's my favorite.
Oh, man. That one scene, the one that we were trying, talk about last week, you know, you recorded just that early scene with the baby and the crib. That's messed up. And it takes a lot for me to say that. Because Kevin likes to point out I've seen everything.
Yeah. So one of the things too, so it didn't, you said it didn't go over swimmingly in South Africa. How has the response been in the US so far? Like, have you had a lot of positive feedback?
Yeah, no, the reviews have really been great, and we're really thankful for it, because obviously we feel that, you know, it's not budget, you know, but any indie film can feel the same way. It doesn't have the budget of It or, you know, something like that, which is great films, you know, and so much fun, because you have to work with what you have. And we're so grateful that for great reviews, you know, especially you guys as well, supporting our film. That means a lot, because people listen to you and then they go watch it. And yeah, that means a lot for us. And also, good response in Japan and South America, Canada, Saudi Arabia, I think, and a little, you know, stranger countries. It's not strange, some smaller countries.
Countries you wouldn't expect, like, wow, Saudi Arabia, that's weird. Yeah, I mean, but it's good. And again, it's something that we bring up a lot. Like, so I know, like, this would be considered a lower budget movie, but I thought it looked great. Like, it looked awesome. So that there's, you know, we've brought it up a billion times before, and I'll bring it up again. As long as the people that are making the movie know how to use their equipment and know how to tell a story, it's going to come across. Like, I've seen movies that are on like a micro budget that look amazing because they know what they're doing, you know?
Wow.
And then other movies that are like larger budget, where just like, okay, they just paid a lot of money for this camera. They don't know what they're doing with it, but whatever.
They have no idea how to use it. Yeah.
So yeah, I thought it looked great. You know, there's a lot to like about this one, and the postpartum depression thing, that's a real thing. But I'm surprised that we really haven't seen that many movies based off of it. Like, I know there's other movies out there, but it's a real thing. So it's a real horror, like, as opposed to like a big like scary monster that would never exist. This is a real thing that can happen. So I'm just kind of surprised, but good thing for you guys, because we haven't seen a billion of them. So this one definitely stands out, you know?
Yeah. I was going to say that it has a different premise. It has a, you know, a real life thing. And, you know, it kind of takes that, you know, that life of the person who has it and kind of brings it to the screen. Cause some people will look at someone with that and be like, well, I have no idea what you're going through. This kind of puts it through their eyes and, you know, it might be that scary.
Let's hope that it's not that scary in real life.
Yeah.
But
I think it's very scary in real life, because I watch every documentary and I think it's really, really scary. And when someone feels, you know, when someone's just had a baby and you see something's off, you know, or you really need to get that person to someone who can medically help them. I think it's really scary. I don't know. The documentary
is scary, but I'm just saying, like,
it's
I agree with you. I hope it's not as scary as the movie as well. I hear what you're saying.
Well, also,
and the sad part is, I mean, we're all a bunch of dudes. It's got to be even scarier for a female, because we're never going to physically have a child, but I mean, the females are the ones that have to go through that, you know.
Mm.
Well, also,
and then going, sorry, Leo.
No,
sorry.
I was just going to say, you know, it takes that real horror and then throws on this layer of paranormal, and just takes it up just another notch.
But that's the thing is with the movie, and this is like, is it all part of the postpartum? Is it for real? Or, you know, that's where things come into play. So, but yeah, with the movie, the way that they broke it down, it's just kind of like, I mean, again, this is something we brought up last week, that it was something where you think you got it figured out and then you just don't, you know?
Yeah.
And that's and that's good, you know, because there's a lot of stuff out there that's overly predictable. And so that's why, that's another thing that makes this movie stand out. And that makes me want to, you know, recommend it to other people, is because it's not where you think it's going to be, you know, even looking at the poster for it, I assumed it was going to be something else than what it was, you know?
Oh, can I tell you guys something? So, in South Africa, this is just a random fact. So Simbamba, mommy's little baby, bring his neck, step on his head, make sure he's dead, is an actual lullaby. So we sing it in a different language, but we, you know, it's like Rockabye Baby. It's just a lullaby we sing. So that's where the entity comes from and everything. It's a true story that about like 100 years ago and more, that song originated from. So that whole story in the beginning is a true thing. So that was interesting for, you know, South Africans would understand that it's real and everything. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why, but I actually kind of figured that was the one part of it that, you know, was true, you know. No, I'm just saying that was me. But like what Kevin was saying about predictability, I mean, this movie is so not predictable, you know.
And that's why four of us had four different takes from it, that,
yeah,
you know, usually predictability, everyone's like, I know exactly what happened, I know, and then you and Kev kind of agree, and me and Leo
And you and Leo were like off on some other road, and it's like, whoa, I didn't even see that. Didn't even think about it that way. Yeah, it was so.
There's a lot to discuss in this movie too. So it's not just a horror movie that's like good. It's also, you know, you can talk about postpartum depression, which is something that we wouldn't know as much about because we're guys. And then also it's obviously to the point where you could take different things from it. You know, multiple watches right there. It's got the good rewatchability. So you get all the things making of a classic right here. So congratulations.
It really does. And I just can't go back to saying that it was shot beautifully. I'm sorry, Rain. Go ahead.
Yeah, no. Justice Diacher. So I'm just going to say his name. He was the DP. So he's just incredible. He's very artistic. And I agree. I think it was shot beautifully. And he did so much for it. And he, exactly what you said previously, like, he used these tools that he had brilliantly. He's just brilliant. Yeah.
Now, how long did it take you to get into character? Because, I mean, the plot line and everything is very, you know, emotional and stuff. Did it take you long to, you know, get yourself into the character? And then we were talking before about, you know, yelling and everything. And there's a lot of, in the scenes, there's a lot of screaming. Did it take you a long time to, you know, build up the emotion to get there? Or
how did that go? I would say like watching, I watched a lot of horrors. I made sure, you know, I watched Jamie Lee like do her thing and all of them, and Jack Nicholson do his thing. But I watched a lot of horrors to get me all psyched up in the whole, you know, the vibe of it. And read a lot about postpartum psychosis and, you know, women being really down and depressed and everything. That helped me get into character. And then, but every day when I was done shooting, I made sure like I got out of character, because otherwise I would, you know, be depressed at her. So I was just like making sure that I can switch on and switch off really quickly, because it's really draining if you do that the whole time. So coming into character, how long did it take me? I would say 3 weeks prior, I made sure that I understood the character, and I worked a lot on it. And if I didn't do that, I don't believe I would have understood what Daryl would have wanted. So that helped me a lot, the 3 weeks prep.
So how hard is that?
A lot of questions going on right now, guys. You have to calm down. Wolfie.
No, she was just talking about switching on and off. I'm thinking, you know, how hard is that to go from like this character to being Rey and then going, okay, now I got to get back in. I mean, can you just kick it on like that?
Sometimes it's easier, but I think it's all in your mind. That's how I tell to my, you know.
And that's why she's an actress and we're not.
Exactly.
I wouldn't be able to switch it off. I let things eat away at me forever. So it's like I would just be that person for way too long. So that's a talent that we don't have, and that's why we do what we do.
And, you always hear the stories of like other actors that are like, okay, once they're on the set and once they're filming the movie, that's it. They're in character. They don't get out of character until they're done wrapping the movie. And because they don't have to worry about trying to get back into that area. So to think that you could just kick it on and off like that, that's amazing.
Yeah.
But I think it's important for yourself, you know. You don't want to go home and be depressed, you know. It's you come first, you know? And that's what I always say. Like, if I had to do a scene where I had to cry a lot, and if I still kept that going, the crying at home, you know, I wouldn't feel well. So I need to switch it off, yeah.
Again, though, it's definitely a learned talent that, you know,
yeah.
The reason why certain people do what they do, and it's because they have the ability to do it. And
why weren't I actors?
If I had to get myself to the point where I had to cry, I would just be a mess for the rest of the day. And I'd wake up feeling like a dummy the next day. You know how it is. I'd just be like, I'm dumb. I'll just cry in front of everybody.
Now, did Tony have a question?
Well, I was going to say, I mean, with the, you know, seriousness of like the plot and everything, when you were reading the script, did you have any fears or whatever for trying to build a character? Or when you read it, you're like, okay, I definitely want to take part in this?
A bit of both, you know. It was like, oh, I've never done anything like this. Will I be able to bring out the emotion that Chloe needs to, you know, and do justice to Chloe, you know? And that was the one part. But the other side was, I understand this character and I really want to, you know, I really want to do this character. I was really hungry for her emotions and everything. And so I guess it's a bit of both.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just looking forward to seeing you just, you know, do everything you can over here in the U.S. and make as many movies and TV shows as you can. I think you're an incredible talent.
Thank you so much. That's really kind.
Well, go ahead.
Well, Tony. Now I was going to say, you know, South America, South Africa. Yeah, you know, my mind's a little shot. But anyway, South Africa, you know, it. I'm sure there's a, you know, it might get taken differently because, you know, I think of South Africa, I think of, you know, great whites and shark attacks and stuff, as opposed to the, you know, paranormal and stuff. So maybe that kind of threw people off. Maybe that's what, you know, people are expecting from a horror movie, as opposed to, you know, a psychological thriller type thing, maybe. But I don't know. I mean, I don't see how this movie could be taken, you know, anyway. You know, I mean, I guess it kind of has, you know, a evilness to it, but I mean, being a horror fan,
that's, you know, people may not know what they're going into and they're like, what the heck is this? Like, holy crap. We know like this is going to be in the horror genre. So we, you know, we knew going into it somewhat. Yeah.
Plus, also, if they're not used to horror down there, I mean, we'll have to ask Wolfie how horror was introduced to the U.S. I mean, how did people take it back?
The early 1800s. Yeah, I was in high school. And
actually, the late 1800s.
So, anyways,
they're picking on me because I'm the older man of the group.
and also, it's very fun and very easy. That's the only reason we do it.
But
yeah.
See, then you have the wisdom, so they have to listen.
Oh, he's we call him an encyclopedia with a T-shirt because he knows everything. So, yeah, he can pull out references like it's going out of style, and then we fact check him, and he's right. So whatever.
Yeah. So don't fact check.
I mean, Well, like what Tony was saying, you know, when horror was introduced to America, we've had horror in America in the cinema since the 1920s. Actually, before that, but I mean, 1922 was what? The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari. So,
yeah,
you know.
But well, would you say cinema obviously came from America, but horror films from America as well? And then, because you get a lot of Japanese movies that
there's a lot of foreign movies that were horror, like early on, right? Mm-hmm. Wolfie?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah, you know, England was England was helping out in that department too, because Germany is Nosferatu was made in Germany, distributed, you know, everywhere, but it was a German film. They were really weird. They had a whole different idea of what horror was. But yeah, in the 50s it was England. In the 60s he had Italy, you know, making all the cool horror films along with the 70s, you know, so it's just been international for the longest time.
Well, we need a South African horror boom, so let's go. This is the first one. Let's get some more out there.
Exactly.
Hook it up. And then, cause I know, like, we were getting a lot of good Australian ones for a while. Yeah, we get a lot of good Australian ones for a while. You know, it's also, too, like, I think that's one of the things that was different about The Lullaby, too, is that almost, like, it didn't have the typical American horror movie feel to
I know
it, you know, which is a good thing, you know. It wasn't like I wasn't positive, you know, I wasn't like, was this really made in South Africa or is it just based on the story or whatever? I'm like, so I wasn't even sure. So like I said, I didn't look at the trailer, I didn't do any research, and like, I'm just gonna watch it, and then afterwards I'm like, let me go find out who these people are, you know, and then I went and looked then. But yeah, so let's get some different takes on things to make things a little more interesting, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Right. So one thing we want you to do is definitely check out The Lullaby. It has limited theatrical release right now, but it's out on VOD. And we'll put the information down below or up above in the show notes, depending on where you're watching us. And any other questions for Rain while we have her, or do you think that's a wrap?
I think that's good. I mean, we definitely want to know.
How about we run the trailer one more time before we go?
Okay. So here we go. Here's the trailer for The Lullaby. Okay, so here we are. That was the trailer for The Lullaby. And Rain, where do you like people following you on social media?
That would be awesome. I'm on Instagram as Raina Swart and on Twitter and Facebook. So that would be the three.
Okay, and what's your favorite out of the three?
Instagram, I would say.
Yeah. Tony?
You can find me on Tony Has Nine Fingers on YouTube, on Twitter, on Horror Amino, and on the Stardust app. You can also find me on Instagram, Tony's Movies, where I show off the movies behind me. And then you can find me here on The Dorkening every Tuesday, every other Thursday, and on some Sundays.
Tony? Sorry, Wolfie?
Big difference. You can find me on YouTube, The 13th Wolfman, Twitter at The 13th Wolfman, Tumblr, 13th Wolfman, The Prowl, every Sunday on The Dorkening, every Tuesday on Wicked Horror Show, doing Horror One with Kev. When we're done, that will be in the Wicked Horror Reviews. And check out my most recent review, the mobile movie review for The Strangers. Pray at Night.
Kevin.
A Knuckle on Twitter, Instagram, A Knuckle 3 on Snapchat, every Sunday on The Dorkening, Tuesday Wicked Horror Show, doing stuff with Wolfie, and that's about it. Leo.
Yeah, for me, just Google Leo Pond. You'll find a bunch of stuff. I'm the man behind the keyboard here, making sure everything works as smoothly as possible, which a lot of times isn't such. make sure you head on over to thedorkening.com. That's where we have a bunch of our stuff. Our shows also can be found in podcast form wherever you listen to your podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, just about everywhere. But more importantly, follow Rain. She did a great job on The Lullaby.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us today. And with that, we'll catch you guys later. Okay, with us today, we have Kevin.
Sorry for interrupting you over and over again, Leo. How are you doing?
That's okay. Wolfie?
I'm never sorry. Hey, everybody.
Tony's here.
What is going on, people?
And our good friend, Max.
Hi, guys.
We start charging you rent. You come on enough. Crazy. No, we're always pleased to have you on. We're always happy.
I'm leaving. Okay. It was a pleasure.
Please don't. You're always entertaining. You always have cool stuff going on. So you have some big news. You liar.
Uh-huh. Yes.
so you have some stuff in the works. What's going on?
Yes, Wes. First of all, thanks again for having me back. You know, I think I have to join you guys as one of the hosts.
Yeah.
So the main thing that I'm going on, that is going on right now, I have a couple of movies in development, which is another airplane movie, with starring, of course, Michael Paré, and I have another movie which is a sci-fi thriller action. Cannot say the title of it, but there is Michael Paré in it, of course, playing the lead. The movie is about the year 2050, police state, citizens are unarmed, and we will show the bleak future, what's happening when the world is controlled by machines. So it would be pretty much an NRA movie sponsored by the NRA, which I wish. we can shoot it tomorrow, but it's not the case. The other things that we have in the work right now is that we are trying to open a small film studio, and we will use the film studio to help the other filmmakers to achieve their dreams. So it will be way cheaper than the cost of, you know, the usual film studios, but we will have pretty much the same thing. So they can set up a set. And I would like to do something that has never been done in a film studio, having a one-stop horror shop. So they can come, they pick their villain, they pick their costume, they pick the set, and they can shoot the entire movie. So it's something new that hopefully will help, you know, the horror community. And the studio can be used also for anything, sci-fi, drama, comedy. I hope not. But, you know.
When you say one stop horror shop, I mean they pick their villain. Is it already going to be predetermined? I mean, are these going to be like original villains, or are you going to go like a license type thing, or what?
No. Original villain. I will have, let's say, five different villain, and once you pick it, we remove that villain from the lineup. So it's pretty much choosing, you know, the suspect in a police lineup. Number three. Turn on the side. All right. So you will
now. Number three is no longer usable by someone else.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
So unless you can use them again and just put like a fake mustache on them.
Pretty much. An eye patch, you know, and it's done. Yeah. So doing that, you know, it's helpful for people who have ideas, but they have no money. So I think I am in that category. So
that's a cool idea.
I believe in karma. So what goes around comes around. So doing the studio, we can help lots of people. For that, we need your help. We need 320 people, not one more, not one less, who will give us $125 each. And the movie can happen. If you guys want some perks, you pick the perks. You say, I don't know, I want to come to see the studio for one day. Done. I want one of your DVD. I don't know why, but done. Mm-hmm. I will send it to you. I want it signed. Okay. You know, this kind of stuff. So you pick your own perk. Will be an immediate perk. You don't have to wait, you know, until we have the studio, and then you have to paint the studio and build a set. Will be immediate. As long as you give us the money, I'll send you, I don't know, this, which is very useful, you know. You can clip your, you know, bag
chips.
Of chips.
Chips and everything.
And everything. And
chip
everything.
Clip.
That's what you should do. You should do a chip clip massacre movie.
Yes, here, chip clip. Yeah. Yeah. So,
anyways, yeah. Return. That's awesome.
So will be crowdfunding?
On this one, yes, because really, I have people interested to put the money, to be honest. But I don't know if I'm interested to work with these people. So that's a different thing, because they want to do it more as a revenue for themselves, which I want to do in a way to help the filmmakers. And, of course, I will shoot my own movies there. I will not lie. I will not say, no, I will never use it. I will. And of course, I'm not stupid. But I want to do it mostly to help other filmmakers. Because I remember when I started in 94, and to find a place to shoot for little money was like hell. That's why everybody's shooting their own apartment and looks like crap. So it's better to have a studio. Sorry, guys, I was joking. It's better to have a studio, and you can also destroy the furniture if you need, because we'll buy, you know, thrift store furniture, and, you know, they'll feel free to destroy or, you know, make them full of blood and whatnot. So you can do things that you cannot do in other studios. So, you know, a win-win for everybody.
Now, is this something that's going to be like a large enough location where more than one movie could film at once? Or is this going to be?
No, it's a small place. It's 2,400 square feet. We have 1,600 downstairs, and we have 800 upstairs. Upstairs will be used mostly for office, but I think I can save a space or two to do maybe a sci-fi cockpit. Just in case someone want to do a sci-fi movie, we have a cockpit ready for you. So Roger Corman style, you know, you put the backdrops.
There you go, man. Roger Corman made a living off of doing the low budget things.
Of course.
Corman and Kaufman, you know. So
I hate Kaufman. So
still, he made a living doing it, man.
Yeah, I mean, other people didn't do it. So yeah, he stole a lot of. Yeah, let's cut this.
Anyways.
Well, it's good to see, you know, filmmakers helping each other, because nowadays, especially, I mean, in every, you know, job and everything, it's always a cutthroat business where everybody's out for themselves. It's nice to see, you know, people coming together and helping each other out, because not only, I mean, and you were saying it's almost a win-win situation, because if you help other people, the business grows itself, and, you know, it's easier, not easier, but, you know, might be a little bit more efficient to make a movie if the business is, you know, growing and you're actually helping it. So it is kind of like a win-win situation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's correct. You know, I see other directors as colleagues. I don't see them as enemy, because the same screenplay can be done in 10 different ways by 10 different directors. So I don't see anybody as an enemy. I never seen that in my life. So actors usually are, you know, they're more cutthroat to each other because they want the same role. But as director, everybody's a different style. As of now, I never seen, you know, I never have an enemy as director, so, which is good. So I'm trying to help everybody as much as I can. You know, I believe in karma. I believe in what goes around comes around. So hopefully the studio will help everybody. And like I say, we will do a small Indiegogo campaign. But a lot of people say, oh, Max, I'll support you. And they press the like button on Facebook, you know, which is nice, but doing that doesn't do any support. You know, support is reaching your pocket. Instead of spending $125 going to a party, just, you know, put it in a pot. So, you know, coffee pot, not any other kind of pot.
And you know, it's LA though, you know.
It's LA, unfortunately, yeah. In an almond milk container. Yeah. And everybody can have you know, a perk. They say, I want this as a perk. You know, I will try to do my best. Even an actor, I can film for them, maybe an audition. So they can have a free audition at the studio, you know, done with a green screen if they want, and professional lighting. So they can have a nice, you know, audition to show to the, hopefully their, you know, for the future employee. So
nice.
Employer, sorry. So.
Do you have an Indiegogo set up yet?
Not yet. The idea came 2-3 days ago, and I went looking for building right away, and we find the building. There is a photo of it on my Facebook page. It's a nice place, actually. It's a parking lot in the back for 20 cars. So it's small, but it's off the highway, so it's an easy access. Downtown LA, near the Staples Center. So the location is good. The price that we can get the place is really good. So I don't want to lose the building. If I had the money right now, you know, if I had like $5,000, I would have, you know, given the deposit right now. So unfortunately, I don't, because I have to pay my rent. So,
so like when's the when does this need to be funded by?
As soon as possible. Let's say what's today? 11th. By the 30th, so I can give the agency the deposit for the place. So I think the place will go quick because it has a front entrance, back entrance, entrance for a car in the front, back parking lot. Location is good. So and it's in a very quiet area, which I was surprised the building, you know, was there empty. I was like, oh, what's going on? Is it meant for me? So, you know, and it's really cool. It's an old school building, you know, brick with concrete on top. So check the photo. I don't know if you guys have, I know you have access to my Facebook, of course. So check it out. You know, it's a cool entrance too. We just need a nice logo.
But it's one of those things too, where anybody watching, it's one of those, we say it all the time, how, you know, a lot of indie films, they, you know, what they lack in, you know, money and production, I mean, the ideas are there. So this will just help that full, you know, go even more. If you can, if these guys don't have to worry about, you know, locations, they could throw a little bit more money in actual, you know, visuals and stuff.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, these ideas that these indie movies have, it'll just shine a little bit more because of, you know, the I guess easiness, like you said, a one-stop shop kind of deal. So
one-stop shop, so they can do anything there, you know, they can destroy stuff and everything, so you cannot do in your own house. You have to worry about the blood on the wall and on the carpet, and then, you know, the renter insurance will be up, so I have to repaint the wall. So doing this way, you know, it's more freedom, and you can put your own idea instead just on paper. You can put, you know, visually, you know, on scene. So hopefully this will help. The cheaper studio in LA, it's $1,075. So our price will be at least 50% lower than that.
Now,
so,
now that's a day, right? You said
that's a day rate. Yeah. That's a day rate. Yeah, where we shot Lockdown, by the way. We can show the trailer now. Lockdown, the set was $1,075 a day, plus $75 for the pre-lit, plus the insurance, plus the permit, plus. So, you know, at the end, it's like $1,500 a day, which is a lot of money. We had, thank God, you know, I had an executive producer who gave us the money to make the movie, but if I had to do myself, that will be impossible. So the set is also something that sells the movie. You need also a good actor, of course, a name, but the set sells the movie. If you have the same scene of Jill done at home with the cardboard, you know, that doesn't sell. So, you know, you need all the elements to make a movie happening. So with the studio, I think hopefully we can offer one element. Plus we'll be offering, you know, costumes from a nice costume designer in Texas, which is, I have a blank right now, which is ATX, which they're good people. Adam Lane is a good designer. So we'll be offering, you know, his movie for rental. We can create, you know, a villain. People can choose their own villain, pretty much one-stop shop. And we can make things happening quickly. We just need, you know, like everything in life, we just need the money.
Yeah.
Now, you talked previously where, like the one-stop horror shop, if somebody chooses a villain, that villain cannot be used in another movie.
No, no. We will have, let's say, five villain available with costume and weapon of choice. Then you say you choose number three. Number three is gone. Okay, number three is gone. So you will have your own character for your movie. You can use it as, you know, sequels and everything you like to do. And then we will make up another, you know, character for the lineup for the next producer or director. So you choose the costume, you know, you, pretty much what I will do will be a setting of a house. So a classic horror movie with a house, you know, they watch a movie and then from that movie, the killer will come, you know, to life and kill people. Basic idea done in 2 seconds right now. So with your own villain, you can create your own movie. You have your own set. So, you know, it's easier for everybody. It's quicker, saves a lot of money for everybody. And I can help also with distribution. I can refer people to SGL Entertainment, which they're growing by the day. I got some fantastic news by Jeff, the owner. I can't share right now, but fantastic news. So they're really going to the top. I have also some contact with the owner of Distributor, so that would be helpful. I can, you know, put in touch the people directly with the owner, and if the movie gets picked up by Netflix, you know, you make good money nowadays. So now, I can suggest one thing. Do not go to Amazon Prime anymore because they're only paying 6 cents per hour. So your movie is worth nothing. So what they did prior, they took a lot of bunch of movies. You know, I made some good money, thank God, with Amazon Prime. We sold 54,000 copies of Insane. So that made good money. If we had to do now, we will be making maybe $1,000. So you know, it's a horrible situation. But now they have a library, so you know they can keep making money out of it. And instead of paying you what they were paying you before, now they'll pay you 6 cents per hour.
Oh wow! So yeah. What are you recommending for people to go for their movies now?
I don't like iTunes, but I recommend iTunes because people are making money with iTunes. Okay. There is a company called Tubi TV, which pretty much takes your movie for free. They put ads in the movie, and you get paid per ads. So that's a revenue share. And of course, I recommend. Go on.
I was gonna say, what do you know about Shudder or Screenbox?
Same thing. They're good. SGL has opened is on Roku channel, so you know you can go with them and make good money. They always paid me. I know them for 5 years. I get my quarterly check on time every time, so I can really speak good about the guys. And of course now there is Netflix, Hulu. They're very picky about what they buy, but if you have a good location, intent, you know, good actor, good story, hopefully will get picked up. There is one down thing actually that I would like to people to know. Horror genre right now, it's the market is overflown. So if you do horror, do not expect to make money. I'm telling you straight. That's why I switched to action thriller. Lots of people say, I don't care, I'm an artist. Okay, it's called film business for a reason. It's not called film art. So you have to sell your movie to make money. If you have a different story from the usual, maybe we'll get to pick up and you can make some money. The horror movie sells, believe me, they always sell, but the market is saturated. So your movie will get picked up, but don't expect to make a lot of money. So try to find, you know, something that, you know, is different instead of, I don't know, having people running around with flashlight. So, you know, something different.
Well, that's the key is, like, we've been watching a lot of Bigfoot horror movies lately, but then we just saw one that totally stands out of the crowd, Primal Rage.
Primal Rage, yes, yeah. Yes. I was invited at the premiere. I didn't go, though, but I was invited.
It was a good one. It was a good one.
Very good. Yeah, so horror is still, you know, it's there are still creams of the crop or cream of the crop.
There are. Yeah, there are.
But the problem is that
matter of finding them.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's saturated, but I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, there are, I think, you know, as many good movies as I've seen before, and we see them. It's just that, you know, a lot of people don't. And it's one of those things that might be saturated, but to tell you the truth, it's saturated with some good movies. I mean, it'd be different if, you know, a lot of the movies I've been seeing have been, you know, and I'm like, okay, it's a little too oversaturated with some bad ones. It's actually oversaturated with some good ones that people aren't seeing.
Well, the market is saturated by all kinds of movies, unfortunately. I watch everything, so mostly I watch crap. And honestly speaking, because everybody buys a camera, and once they buy the camera, they're automatically a director. So everybody's making their own movie. And, of course, the distributor takes anything, some distributor, not everybody, take anything because they make money on quantity, not on quality. So when they sell international 10 package movie for $500 a piece, they make the money, and then the producer make, you know, a percentage out of it. So distributor make movie on quantity over quality nowadays. So you don't get paid a lot, but they make, you know, their good share. So on this side of the business, you see things that the viewer doesn't see. They see, like you guys, let's see a good movie, 20, and then those 20, the movie didn't get sold because they wanted more money, but the other 20, their crap, are getting sold to China for $500 a piece, and so they saturate the market. So it's a lot of behind the scene thing that as director you need to know before you go to sign a contract with a distributor. There is no there is no culture of movies anymore, so people doesn't know. I said, I just want to make my movie, just want to show. I don't care if I make money. And that's when, you know, that's when they screw you, and that's when the market gets saturated. Because I hear this all the time. I don't care about making money. I just want my movie out there.
Well,
so
another thing that's really saturated right now is my water with coffee grounds from Deadly Grounds Coffee.
Oh my God, that was horrible.
That was good.
I must say, I was watching the live show before, and it was kind of like a smooth introduction into it. I was impressed.
Deadly Grounds Coffee, they're a sponsor of ours, and we absolutely love their coffee, but you know, you don't want to hear me talk about it. You want to hear a zombie talk about Deadly Grounds Coffee, and here we go.
Everyone thinks because you're a zombie, you don't know good coffee. Well, they're wrong. There's only one brew that gets my seal of approval. Deadly Grounds Coffee is my guilty pleasure. The aroma is so intoxicating. It brings all of my neighbors out of the woodwork. Deadly Grounds Coffee. Coffee to die for and zombie approved. It's good to get a little deadly.
Use the front door!
Oh, they're so disgusting.
And there we go, Deadly Grounds Coffee. Check the show notes down below or up above, depending on where you're watching, to learn more about Deadly Grounds. You can order their coffee online. I'm drinking chocolate raspberry right now. And, it's just get yourself a little deadly. Get deadly.
Why didn't you get one? Why didn't you get one? Deadly Grounds Coffee, send me one, please. So, you know.
What kind of coffee do you like? Like what's your?
I cannot drink coffee.
Easy enough.
Yeah. But I like to keep the bag. Yeah. You know, it's cool.
Yeah, just smell it. Yeah.
I must say I'm not a coffee drinker, but smelling the coffee, I like the smell.
Do you like the smell?
Yeah.
I don't like the taste. I like to smell the coffee.
So you're one of those guys that just huffs coffee in the back room and he goes to the gas station. He's huffing gas tanks.
Here's the thing.
Pretty much.
If you like to smell and don't like to taste, then chances are it's the type of coffee you're trying. You know,
I've tried every. My buddy tries to get me to drink coffee all the time, and I'm like, no. Just the taste itself.
Have you tried Deadly Grounds?
I have not, but.
I'm with Tony. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's like I've tried drinking coffee over my lifetime too, and it's an acquired taste, and I don't have that taste. You know, it's like I drink tea, but it comes to coffee. I mean, kudos to you guys that can drink it. But it just doesn't.
I don't know if it's a really kudos thing. It's more of a the acid from the coffee is going to wear away your teeth and blah blah blah. Just like you're addicted to coffee. Mm-hmm.
I think it's bad advertisement for Deadly Ground.
No, it's I don't drink as much coffee as I used to, but what I'm drinking now is quality stuff. Yeah. So it's not a bad advertisement. It's good. You should have Deadly Grounds at your new studio.
Yeah, actually, it will be good. Yeah, it will be good. Actually, a nice poster with the coffee station. I don't know if they have a Kruger or whenever. It's the grounds or anything, so it would be very nice to have, For $125, I'll be putting a very nice station in my studio. So, Deadly Ground, if you're listening to it, open your wallet, just a small amount, and you have an advertisement for an entire year, It's a win-win,
Look at that.
Then everybody that comes in there to make their, pick their monster and pick whatever, they'll pick up a Deadly Grounds coffee.
They can match the coffee ground with the monster.
Yeah, pick a flavor.
Pick your flavor. There we go.
So the coffee monster.
The coffee monster coming soon from Deadly Grounds.
Choking people with heavy whipping cream all around the world.
For the aspiring filmmaker, how will this work for them? Will this be, actually, you mentioned it's like a per day rate.
Yes, we can do also per week. For the aspiring filmmaker, I'll tell you one thing, guys. Buy a book about how to shoot a movie. Don't say, I watch a lot of movies, now I know how to shoot a movie. I watch a lot of VR. I didn't go to operate yesterday at my nearest hospital. So, it doesn't make sense. So, have a little idea what are you shooting, and also have a little idea about how you sell the movie. There are three different type of VOD. There is TVOD, AVOD, SVOD. So you have to know the difference of this VOD before you're selling, your movie, because then they screw you over. And then, how do you sell first, the SVOD or the TVOD? You know, well, in what order you sell the movie? What's the difference? You have to know all this nowadays to, you know, to make money to, and to speak with the distributor about the distribution plan. Because if you know the basic, you know, pretty much you do what they want, they make some money, your movie, you know, it's not being seen by anybody, and they don't care, pretty much. So, except for a few people like SGL and other distributors that I know, they really care about, you know, their own people, which is really good in the business.
Now, obviously, you have a ton of experience making movies, Max. And
yeah, I'm white hair, so I mean, I'm old.
So, are you going to be offering services as well? Like,
would you be doing
consultation if somebody
needs?
Yes,
for free. All consultation is for free. Absolutely. Anything they want to know, and they're willing to listen because most people don't want to listen. They say, "I want to do my way." I'm like, but if you do this, you'll sell the movie. Yeah, I want to do my way. Okay. So, you know, it's like, okay, good luck. You know, that's the only thing I can say. But yeah, consultation is free. I can give contact to distributor. Where to go, where to sell the movie, who's the good distributor, who's the one who screw you. I almost say a name. But, but yeah. You know, it's the market. The market is competitive. So you need to go to someone that takes your interest, not just their interest. So, you know.
What about someone who has an idea, has actors in place, but they may not have the crew to actually get things done? Filmed and stuff like that. Would you offer any kind of?
I can offer a crew, but my crew needs to get paid. So
right, exactly.
I can offer a crew.
Offer it as a service,
We can offer pretty much. It's you know, underneath Wonder Woman roof, or maybe two because it's two story.
Yeah.
So underneath Wonder Woman roof. So anything they want to know, it's free. So maybe we'll do a non-profit organization for that. I don't know, and we will. The only thing you'll pay is the time in the studio, because we have to pay the bills, of course. So we can do a weekly package, a daily package. We can dress design, set design the set for you, or you can use the various furniture that we'll be supplying, or use the standard set that we'll be supplying. So whenever it's convenient, it will cost the same. We're just there, you know, to help you out.
That's awesome.
Oh, well, thank you.
It sounds like it's something that would be definitely beneficial to. I mean, there's a lot of people that make films in California, and you know,
oh, yeah.
Like you said, like starting out, it was the toughest thing to do is find a place to actually make the movie. So,
oh my god, yeah, I know.
Sounds beneficial to a lot of people, so that's good. Including, you know, beneficial including to yourself, because
absolutely,
you can make more connections with other filmmakers and
absolutely, you know, it's a win-win situation for everybody. So. I'll be glad if, you know, the campaign goes well to have the place up and running by end of April. The interior has to be done, a lot of work. Upstairs, the office area is done. We just need to do a lot of work on the set. So we have to repaint and, you know, put furniture, set design it, put fake walls, and, you know, you remove a painting and there is a hole to put the camera from the other side so we can have different point of view. For the film, you know, this kind of stuff that other studio don't offer. So little touches there and there, you know, we will pre-lit everything. So we just have to turn the switch. You don't have to rent any lights. So everything is already lit. And in case you need, you know, some extra light, that's, of course, you know, up to you. But we will set up the studio in a way that once you flip a switch, it's already pre-lit. So let's save money and time, which is the best thing. Me, I'm more for the time. Sometimes it's better to waste some money. But me, I shoot very quick. So anything that can save me time, I'll take it. So I will put what I like, you know, and what it's useful on the set as well. And that will be included. Other studios, they offer the same service, but they charge you $80 to $100 per day for a pre-lit set. So in a week, it's another $700. So yeah, that's how they make the extra money.
Yeah.
So, Leo, do we have any comments?
Yeah. What about Frank?
Yeah. What about this? He's Frank in, on YouTube. Where's Frank from?
I saw him too.
Yeah. So these guys are razzing me. So obviously, we and Max said it. We recorded this on Sunday, the 11th, and we're actually recording this on displaying this on Monday night.
Monday.
Yeah. So I am watching because I have this running on my computer. So
yeah, what Leo said. Yeah. I can't see the comment.
When do you think you're gonna have the Indiegogo up?
By next week. By next week, because right now we are finishing the last touches for May Day. We will have a premiere by the end of the month. I will post a link for everybody that want to come to the premiere. We'll do an open premiere also for the general public. You just have to pay $10 to come in, but we refuse the right to anybody. So if you come with a sharp machete or no shirt, you know, no service pretty much. So we'll pre-screen you. And all the cast and crew will be there. We will be offering maybe some mini posters with signature from everybody. We toss you some, you know, candies on top of you, and you will enjoy the movie, hopefully.
Nice. Well, so yeah, keep us posted on the link for that when it's available, and check out May Day if you're in the area. We'll push the hell out of it.
Oh, I know you guys. I appreciate it. And of course, you're invited to the inauguration of the studio once the studio will be open. Hopefully soon, guys, because I don't want to lose the building. That's a cheap building. Then if we lose this, then we have to find another building, and then we'll take maybe more money. So I'm trying to have something that can be done with little money and quick. Mm-hmm. So help us out, and we will help us out. Remember karma. So right. Karma, believe in karma, and karma is also a bitch. So depending of your depending of your way of acting, you know, things goes well.
Well,
what goes around comes around.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Hopefully.
Max, I want to thank you for stopping by today. And,
thank you for having me.
Of course. You're always welcome, especially, you know, when May Day comes out, we'd love to have you back.
Thank you so much.
Maybe set something up with Michael Paré. Michael Paré also has Astro coming out soon.
That's correct. That's correct.
With Max Wassa, who we had on the other night. So,
yes.
Max, where do you like people interacting with you?
You can find me on Facebook. I have 4,000, let me double check right now. I have 4,997 people on my Facebook. I only have spot for 3 more, but feel free to send me a friend request. I think it will be underneath here.
It is.
It is. I can't read. I can't see you. So I need new glasses. And that's the only social media I'm using, because it's a bit too much. It would be too much for me using Snapchat and Instagram. And plus, you guys want to see my photo. Who cares about me? So on Facebook, you will see, you know, my movies, and actually our movies, because, you know, everybody involved in the movies make it happen. So follow me on Facebook. Everything is for friends. So there are only 3 spots available, but I keep deleting people every week. People who are not active, you know, they're just there, just lurking around, and maybe once every blue moon, they'll push a like on something that's stupid. So, you know, keep sending me your friend requests. As soon as I have an opening spot, I will click on it. And of course, you can follow The Dorkening. They have all my information, unfortunately for them. So thanks again for your support, guys.
Yeah. That's what we're here for.
Exactly. Tony?
You can find me on YouTube. Tony Has 9 Fingers. Also the same for Twitter, Horimino, and the Stardust app. You can find me on Instagram, Tony's Movies, where I show off the movies behind me. And then, of course, you can find me on The Dorkening on Tuesdays, every other Thursday, and some Sundays.
My God. All right.
Yeah.
I'm a busy guy. Busy guy, man. You show the movie, you're on your back. I can't see it right now. I don't have to follow you.
Wolfman.
You can find me on YouTube, The 13th Wolfman, Twitter at The 13th Wolfman, Tumblr, 13th Wolfman, The Prowl, every Sunday in The Dorkening, every Tuesday on Wicked Horror Show, doing the Horror One with Kev. When we're done with that, I'll be doing the Wicked Horror Reviews, and I just got my latest review up right now with the newest mobile movie review for The Strangers Pray at Night. Check that out.
Gavin?
You're busy guys.
Me Knuckle on Twitter and Instagram, Me Knuckle 3 on Snapchat, every Sunday on The Dorkening, Tuesday Wicked Horror Show, doing stuff with Wolfie. That's about it. Leo?
Yeah, just Google Leo Pond. You'll find a bunch of stuff about me. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, just about everywhere. But more importantly, The Dorkening. Head on over to thedorkening.com for all our information there. We have this in a podcast format as well, so we love having subscribers there. Listen to all our shows. We do the roundtable discussion on Sundays at 10 a.m., the Wicked Horror Show every Tuesday at 9 p.m., and the Ultimate Video Game Show every Thursday, every other Thursday at 9
p.m. God, you guys are busy.
Yeah. We have nothing else going on in life.
I know.
You're busy.
We have three interviews today, which is crazy. We have
two with me. Okay.
Yeah. We have Rain coming on from The Lullaby and Jamie Bernadette shortly after that. She has 420 Massacre and Killing Joan. So some awesome stuff. We want to thank you all for watching, and we'll catch you guys later. Bye.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this show. If you did, please make sure you subscribe to the show wherever you listen to your podcast. If you want to be part of a future show, you can find us over on YouTube or Facebook, where we broadcast all our episodes multiple times a week live in front of an online audience where you can interact with us and our guests. Our main show, The Dorkening, is produced live on Sundays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. The Wicked Horror Show comes at you Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And the Ultimate Video Game Show zooms in on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. This has been a Dorkening Network production powered by New Media Promotions. You can learn more about our network by heading on over to www.thedorkening.com.